Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I got so lucky this year. My podcast fell on Christmas and on New Year's Day. So Happy New Year, everybody. How are you? Hey, guess what? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it, and Happy New Year. Happy first freaking day of 2021. What is happening? Is 2020 actually over? Now listen, I know, and I know everybody's saying that just because 2020 is over doesn't mean that everything is going to be magically better, but can't we just say it is? Can't we just have our moment, all those people who say, what do you think? It's just going to turn January 1st and everything's going to be fine. Yes, how about that? Just for a moment, let us live the fantasy. Anyway, we'll see what 2021 is all about, but I have hope. I have hope. I just choose to have hope that things are going to look up, that we're going to get ourselves into a more enlightened place, and the world is going to fall into that same order, and whatever. I can hope, right? We can hope. So anyway, welcome to the podcast. Today I have a beautiful conversation, a great success story with Yana. And Yana has, I've been in correspondence with her for a little while. And so I know that she has had some struggles, but she comes to us today not as a real-time heal, but as a success story, because she really was able to do the work and walk the path. And there are a lot of bumps and bruises in her journey. And really just such an inspirational story. There's one moment where she really got me. I was really crying. And I'm just, I love this human interaction. I love being able to connect with people, hear their stories, hear their struggles, and hear their awakenings, because that's what I'm all about. You know, I'm not here to fix you or to force you to think my way or to manipulate your life so it can have a certain outcome. Literally, I'm here to help you wake up. And each person's awakening is unique. And as they wake up, they can start applying some of the things I teach and some of the other wonderful mind-body teachings out there to their own stories and see what happens. And then I get the privilege of hearing back from you guys and hearing how this has gone in your life. And Yana is a beautiful example of that. So I'm excited to share that conversation with you. Basically, I'm about to walk out of my house in the next 24 hours and take a few days off from the grind of my life, both parenting and my work. So I'm really excited for that. I really need a minute so badly. So I hope that everybody has had moments of peace in their holiday season, even if it's been hectic and difficult. And I wish you guys all the best and the brightest from your year and from your year to come. Any moments you can get of peace are moments to be grabbed. And what I will say to you as we enter into this next year of our lives, 2021, is to say this. You have the power to decide what you hold on to, and you have the power to decide what you let go, and you have the power to set intentions for what you would like moving forward. And those are powerful moments. Those are powerful steps in our growth and our healing. So keep that in mind. If you are walking with concrete boots and you want to take them off for 2021, go ahead. You don't have to carry that resentment. You don't have to sit and stew in that anger. Forgiveness is first and foremost for yourself. And I have learned that the hard way many times in my life, because I have held on to resentments that once I've let them go, even though it stings to let them go. Okay. Remember, life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, not what hurts and what's awesome. So although it stings to let them go, the peace and freedom to not keep them so close to you is, it's really liberating. So I'll send you off with that message. I'll also let you know that I have two courses on sale right now for the holidays. If you want to give yourself that gift of self-healing, self-growth, peace, freedom from chronic pain, and freedom from an anxious life, they're out there for you. And all the information, much of it is free on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. All right, my loves, if you're enjoying this podcast, what you can do for me is go over to iTunes and rate and review it. That really helps other people find it, and I would appreciate that. And that's kind of it for now. Oh, and also Blue Dog is doing great. He's walking so well on his leg, if anybody's wondering about my baby dog. Okay, now that's really it. I love you guys. I wish you the brightest and shiniest of New Year's. Let's make this a good one, okay? You and me, let's make this a good one. Enjoy this conversation with Yana. Hello, everybody, and Happy New Year. This is our New Year's podcast. So yay, we get to record and we get to release this on New Year's Day. So today I have Yana with me all the way from Barcelona. Welcome, Yana.
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing? Good to be here.
I am doing great. I'm so excited to talk to you today. So I will tell you a little bit, because I know that I spoke about it in the intro, but I don't really know Yana at all, except for a couple of beautiful emails I've gotten from her. And she did attend one of my virtual retreats. So I do remember your face, and I did get to talk to you a little bit. But really, that's it. And all I know about Yana is she has a beautiful story to share. So I'm just going to hand it over to you, Yana, and you take it away.
Perfect, Nicole. Well, I will start from the beginning, because honestly, I had TMS symptoms all my life, coming and going, I would say. And I'm really a big believer that, at least in my case, it's very connected to my childhood experiences. So I'm actually Swedish. I grew up in Sweden. My mother is Swedish and my dad is from the US. They got divorced when I was really young. And I think to a certain level that their divorce did affect my first years of life. I'm sure they were not in a good place. And that probably affected me as a baby very much. And I've always had a very, I would say I love my parents, but I had a very conflicted relationship with especially my mom. She was the type of mom that would... I would say be pretty uncomfortable with me expressing strong emotions, as frustration and anger, and I would even say like excitement. You know, she would not feel good when I felt a lot. So I learned from a very young age to disconnect from my feelings. I remember when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, I would be really mad, and my mom would say, go up to your room and come down when you're okay again. And I think what that does to a child, it's pretty damaging. I'm sure the parents don't know that it is, but for me, it really became about going up to my room, pressing my head into the pillow, and just really, really being super angry and just feeling that I couldn't feel what I was feeling. And since nobody would really come up and talk to me, I would eventually, you know, swallow whatever I was feeling and go down and pretend that I was okay.
And wow, what a beautiful just little example of how TMS is born.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And for me, it was I had digestion issues as long as I can remember. And when I was 11 years old, and I think this is very interesting to talk about or to tell you, I started having really bad migraines, strong headaches, and they usually would come when I was in school. And the way this would go was that my teacher would, you know, put me in a separate room for me to rest until one of my parents, my mother or my stepdad at that time that I grew up with, would come to school and would take me home. And when I think back about this experience, I realize how that in many ways formed my sense of, you know, being able to get away from a stressful environment.
Yes, it was, totally. Right?
Because it really, I was the typical girl, you know, I was a good girl. I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. I was a perfectionist that needed to do well in school. I needed to be liked by everyone. You know, I was always kind of adapting to what I thought other people wanted me to be. So for me to be able to get away from this pressure and go home and, you know, have my mom like nurturing me, giving me this pill that would, you know, make my headache go away, put me in a dark room. And you know, I have very positive feelings around that, being taken away from that environment and being in the same calm, right?
So it's actually really, when I say the word beautiful, I recognize that maybe this didn't feel beautiful to you and people are going to be like, what are you talking about? But the truth is, it's beautiful because it's like, I look at, like, my heart feels so full when I listen to you because I think of this little girl who's trying the best she can. She has this divorce she just lived through. And then the headaches come up, which we have no idea are anything except a problem with our bodies, right? That's what it feels like. There's something wrong with my body. It's hurting. And then to be able to get that nurturing that you can't get when you're angry, it's like, it's beautiful because it's true, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. It's an escape, I would say. The pain gives you a way to escape from an environment that you're not, you know, you're not comfortable in, that is very stressful to you. And I think this has been a thread all through my life. I would even like jump forward to, because the migraines in the end, I did get some treatments for them. And I would say around when I was 13 years old, they started disappearing and I was doing good for a couple of years. But fast forward to when I was 17 years old, at that time, I went to the U.S. for as an exchange student, and this was a very, I would say, a very tough year in my life because I think one, I don't know if I really wanted to go, because going to a new environment was, you know, not knowing everyone, the culture was different, everything was different. I missed my family, I missed my friends. And also when you're 70 years old, and there's a lot of feelings coming up in your teenage years.
Yeah, of course.
And especially for me being, you know, in the state of repressing my feelings for so long, now I think it came to the point where I couldn't repress them anymore. I was just feeling too much. There was just too much chaos in me. And around this time, I started, well, actually, I would say the triggering part was that I got into modeling for a while, and I was very early on told that I needed to lose some weight. So I found two ways to do this: through like over exercising, and two through I would say emotionally not eating, maybe is a better word.
I developed withholding, restricting.
Exactly. Yeah. I developed an eating disorder. And strangely enough, or I guess interestingly enough, this whole thing with the eating disorder and with the, you know, numbness that exercising gave me, it kind of felt like it gave me a direction in life. It kind of felt like it saved me at that point because I was just, everything was so chaotic and it gave me a sense of control.
Exactly. And I'll just jump in to say, if anyone out there is struggling with any sort of an eating disorder or anything related, that's exactly what an eating disorder is. It's fake safety. Mm. It's control over the one thing you can control. And in many ways, for people in the throes of an eating disorder, it feels much safer to be right there.
Yeah, exactly. So that was I think an interesting time of my life. And then I came back to Sweden and I started doing better. But exercise, and I will come back to that later on, but the exercise part has always been huge for me because it was my way of not feeling. You know, I would go and just obsessively exercise, doing sometimes, you know, two aerobic sessions on top of each other. And it would feel like that kind of was the one thing that made me feel good about myself.
Right.
And when I came up to, when I started university, I moved to another city. This around this time I was 22, 23 years old. And going to university, something interesting happened with the exercise part, which was also my first experience with back pain. I started noticing that when I had been to the gym and came back to my apartment, my back started to hurt. Like every time I'd done some type of exercise, my back would start feeling strange. It wasn't really, really bad at that time, but it felt like something was wrong with my back. So the way that I would start doing this was that I tried to always exercise as late as possible during the day.
Oh, so you can just go right to bed.
Exactly, exactly. It's so funny, but it's true, or sad, but it's true. That's what I did, because afterwards I couldn't really hold up my back. So I would go and exercise, and then if I did need to do some more studying, I would kind of half lay down on my couch or in my bed. So I've always been, you know, I've always been this person that put so much pressure on myself to do well that it became, I think for a child that has grown up in an environment that is not all safe or all good, you just, you know, start fantasizing through, if I could be like this, or if I could be so good at, you know, at a career, or, you know, getting my dream job, or, you know, having this type of life, whatever you imagine it will be, it becomes an escape. And you think that's the solution to whatever you're feeling, you know, the bad feelings that you have. You start creating this ideal me that you need to reach. And I think I was on the journey of doing this. And I was really, I was kind of disconnected, I think, to my authentic self, because I went to business school, which was probably not the ideal thing for me, you know, not where my passion really was at, but that's what I did. And I went through business school, and the back pain was kind of going and coming, but it wasn't really bad. And after business school, I got my dream job in a consultancy company. And I went to Mexico City. It was for a Swedish company, but it was based in Mexico City. And it was a job with a lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, I just felt like I had a lot of eyes on me and I needed to do well. I had the internal pressure of doing well. And I also felt like it was expected from me, you know, from the company and the people around me. So during my first year in Mexico, it was super chaotic, super, I felt very alone, very, you know, strange with everything, the culture, the job, and I was really struggling to fit in. And a year forward, after I first moved there, I went with some friends to Acapulco to celebrate a birthday for a weekend. And going back to Mexico City, leaving Acapulco, our car got hit from behind. And this was, this was like the beginning of a couple of years of absolute hell when it comes to pain. Because actually, the car crash wasn't that bad. We went straight, you know, the police ambulance came. We were taken to the hospital. They did x-rays and didn't find anything wrong with me physically. So I went back to my apartment in Mexico City. And that night, I talked to my mom in Sweden and I was explaining to her what had happened. And she listens and I find, you know, I hear her getting really worried. And she says, mm-hmm. John, this is really making me worried because, and she starts telling me about how worried she is that I got a whiplash. And this, I had never heard about whiplash before. I didn't know what that was. But the way that, you know, my mom was describing it was that, or the way that I took that information in was that this is such a bad thing, because if that happens, you will never get well again. And, you know, there's so many people. Yeah, that's really the way that I, you know, thought it was, that this is like, there's no solution. If you get a whiplash, that's it. You're going to need to stop working and, you know.
Wow. And also, I mean, I can't help but think about the fact that your one connection with your mother that felt the safest was the way she cared for you when you weren't well. So this impact hand in hand with fear, because nobody wants to hear that they may have been exposed to something that will never resolve, is the fact that your deepest connection with your mother and the maternal connection is something that none of us can escape, is something that was being nurtured right there, which is so interesting.
It's so 100% true, because actually when you say that, I think about how I ended up doing a surgery in the end, and I've been doing more surgeries after that. And every time she's come to wherever I've been to be there mm-hmm. with me, to take care of me. And yes. I really feel that that has been something that I was, you know, that's what I needed on my life. That's what I was missing on my life, that connection with my mother. And she's a nurse, so she doesn't
have that even more.
I know. She's really good. When my mom is really good, when there's a structural physical problem, she feels 100% comfortable in helping.
Right. She feels
you.
Safe. She
exactly.
feels safe. And you know, it's interesting, as a mother, I will say that that is one of the greatest challenges of parenting well, is to parent for what the child is needing rather than parent through the lens of what makes me feel safe. So I feel a lot of empathy for her.
Yes. And I do too. I do too. And I also, you know, everything comes down to, she has her own background. She has her own experiences. So I know today why she is the way she is. So right. I also have a lot of compassion for her, but I think it's interesting how I've always been looking for, I felt very needy on my mom as a kid. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I've been looking for those moments as an adult for her to come and, you know, give me what I needed, was that nurturing part.
So you have the whiplash conversation.
Yeah. So I had the whiplash conversation, and the very day after, I'm in my office in front of my computer, and I started feeling a very weird sensation in my neck. And I knew right away, this is not good. And it goes downhill very fast. It, like, you know, my neck feels really tight and really achy, and it goes down to my back and like out of my arm. I can't remember right now if this was a process of a few weeks or, but I remembered really, you know, rapidly going downhill. And for 2 years, I was in so much pain. I did not stop working or doing any of the things that I was doing, but I was taking a lot of pills. You know, I remember being in so much, I couldn't sleep at night. I remember my boyfriend at that time, my husband now, if he tried to hold my hand, I would sometimes say, you need to let go of my hand, because it feels like you're pulling my whole, you know, arm from my body. It was such an intense feeling. And the only time that I did not have pain those 2 years were when I took this horrible pill called Lyrica, which was so strong. I still remember that drug that kind of got rid of the pain, but it made me nauseous and feeling so bad overall. But I was really in a lot of pain, and the whole thing, and I started getting into, you know, the spiral of visiting tons of doctors, doing tons of x-rays, and in the beginning, nobody found anything wrong with me. I did end up finding one doctor that told me that I had a 7 millimeter dislocation between two vertebrae in my neck, which sounded very scary to me at the time. Today, where I'm at today, I'm convinced that was not why I was in pain, but
Well, of course, it wasn't why you were in pain, but no. It's certainly something that's very troubling to hear. I'm sure.
Exactly. And I did go through with a surgery, and after the surgery, I did a couple of months of rehab, and I started feeling better. I think the reason I started feeling better was because I was, you know, my mom came down and she was with me, and I also got this break from the pressure of my job my body was screaming for. And so I think that's why I was feeling better.
Yeah. Let me jump in a little and talk about this kind of stuff so people understand if they're new to this work or this podcast. We are so conditioned to believe that pain in our bodies or symptoms or conditions or syndromes or whatever is a physical problem that has a physical manifestation and has a physical origin. And we're so programmed to believe that when we go through the process of doing something physical to our bodies, like getting a surgery or taking a medication, we put all of the change that we see on that physical experience. Whereas what I hear Yana saying, which is so important, is there are myriad things. There's so many different factors that attach themselves to every experience. Her surgery, it did alter her physical body. And I know this isn't the end of the story, so I know the surgery was not one and done. And so that's very important to know that the surgery was not in the physical manipulation, the reason that she was feeling better, but so many factors of maternal love and connection, of taking a break from that toxic perfectionism that has been chasing you your entire life. And I, by the way, need to say, I didn't want to interrupt you earlier. You are telling my story, girl. I mean, the way that you looked at yourself and said, if I just get the best job, if I'm acclaimed in my career, if people think I'm amazing, well, then I will feel this anger and sadness and hunger inside of me go down. Like I was that was me, hashtag me. So I get it. And I also want to just really emphasize the fact that when we do things like medicate and surgerize and do all, I think that's a made up word, and do all the things we do to ourselves, just know, guys, there is so much going on. It's like the cloud around it that needs to be seen, because I'm just about sure that what Yana's going to say next is that surgery was not the solution.
No, and it gets even more interesting, I would say, because I was doing well for about 5 months. So, of course, I thought, okay, this surgery worked. I'm right. Fine now. So what happens during these 5 months is that me and my then boyfriend, we took a long vacation. We went to Costa Rica. We had a wonderful time. And we left Mexico. We moved to Barcelona. And the first month in Barcelona were wonderful. You know, we weren't working and there was no pressure. And but then we started our own company, a startup. And that was a very intense experience. And when we start this companies and we're working really hard, and you know, the pressure comes back, the stress comes back. Surprise, surprise, my neck pain comes back as well.
Right, right.
And now I'm thinking, okay, I did understand this time there is something that's not right here. This, how can it be that, you know, I haven't done anything, nothing physical has happened to me, but I'm getting worse again. The same pain is coming back. So at that time I did start therapy, and I started therapy with a therapist that he does, I'm still with him today. He understands completely the mind-body connection. I think he's been convinced ever since the first day he saw me that this was an emotional problem and not a physical problem. But I just did not believe him. I didn't believe it.
No one can believe it at first. It's so normal.
It's because it seems so surreal that this amount of pain can be caused by something, you know, about caused by emotional repression. It seems so surreal until you kind of gone through this journey. But I did for a few years. The neck pain was kind of coming and going, and I was having pain most of the time, but it wasn't every day. And then fast forward again up to 2013. And this was another kind of complicated time in my life because we had a family conflict going on that was very stressful for many people in the family. And the problem for me was that I was feeling a lot of things around this that I did not allow myself to feel. Mm-hmm. And I think they felt extremely unsafe to feel because I felt that if I did feel them, it would have a negative impact on my relationship with my husband. So in this process, a friend of mine comes to visit me in Barcelona, a friend of mine from Sweden. And I decide to have a weekend where I just going to kind of escape how bad I'm feeling about everything that's going on and just have a good time and, you know, just go out and just think positive, basically. So what happens then is that I go to this club bar with my friend, and as I'm standing there having a cocktail, I suddenly feel a crack, and I think I could hear it. I don't know if this is my imagination, but I feel like I could hear it because it was like my back just felt like it just broke. And once again, it's like that feeling with the neck pain. It's like, okay, this is not good. And it got so, and the way that I was thinking about it at the time was, it's my high heels, because I was wearing really high heels. And I thought that was why I got the pain.
And it's so funny. I mean, I'm not trying to make this light, but, you know, I know that you can understand this. It's so funny how many of us do such mental gymnastics in order to make something so unbelievable believable. You know, mm-hmm. We can't believe that emotional repression can cause physical pain. I get it. I didn't believe it before until I lived it. But we can believe that standing in a bar could break our back.
Yes. Yes.
It's just crazy, but it's all crazy because we're just humans trying to get by, and it hurts to be alive. So I get it, exactly. But I just think it's also in the rear view mirror, it's all a bit amusing to me how we can make certain things that to me seem so untenable believable, whereas other things not. You know what I mean?
I completely know what you mean, and just, you know, I don't even know how I could think, oh, it's the high heels, but I didn't have any other explanation to what was happening.
Right, so, of course, yeah.
And also because I felt at that time, all those years, I was feeling that my body was weak. You know, I felt like I got sick a lot. I had been told by many practitioners that, you know, I had a bad back and, you know, I was never going to get completely well. And so It just made sense from what I had heard up until then that something like that could break my back. And the back pain got really, really bad. It just, the day after, I couldn't even walk, you know, in the city with my friend because the back pain went down to one of my legs, and it just completely blocked my leg. So it got really bad. And once again, started the journey of, you know, going to tons of different doctors, feeling super desperate, you know, very, very scared, looking for solutions, taking tests and x-rays. If you do this long enough, you will find someone that says there's something wrong with you.
Right.
In my experience.
Well, that's because what Dr. Sarno always said, that our bodies do not look the same on the inside, just like we don't look the same on the outside. And almost nobody's skeleton looks exactly the same as the one that is created to hang in a child's health class. You know, this isn't normal. So we have normal abnormalities. You know, in my example, I have a really severe looking abnormality that's called spondylolisthesis, because that's what people decided it's called. And it never accounted for my pain, not 1%, you know, considering that it's been however many millions of years that I haven't felt it after doing this work. And I still look the same on MRI. And so I think it's so important for people to understand, no matter what is found to be wrong with you, whether it be a bulging disc or whatever, Yana, you just said about like the neck, there was like certain millimeters in between whatever, or a spondylolisthesis or whatever. You're going to find something if you look hard enough, because our bodies are all normally abnormal. So just had to throw that in there.
And that's so true. And eventually they did find what they said was a vertebra that was, you know, pinching a nerve, and that could have been released. And yeah, the same old story, you know. So that's what I ended up doing in 2015, a new surgery on my back. And after the surgery, the first weeks I felt better. I felt that it had worked. But very soon after starting working again, one of the first things I did, I went to a conference and I was sitting down, and as I'm sitting down, the pain just comes right back.
Aww. Can I just say, I'm so sorry, honey. This must have been, I mean, it's one thing to just have to deal with the pain, but it's another when you keep cutting into your body with this hope and this promise that it's going to, I send my heart to that, that girl who sat in that seat and said, now again, what the hell?
Yes. It's been I mean, I'm so happy where I am today, which I'll get at. So today feels like, okay, that was part of the journey that I needed to,
of course,
to
of
walk.
Course.
But just you're right.
Sending love.
Yeah. Thank you. So anyway, let's see. After that surgery, I was not doing great, and I started going to obsessively amount of. Just everything. I went to physio, two different physiotherapists twice a week. So that was four times a week. I went to acupuncture every week. I went to osteopathy occasionally. I went to get these injections in my back, like on a regular basis. Let's see, what am I forgetting? I was talking to my husband about this the other day, and he said, actually, like, you were doing a full-time job of going to treatments.
Right.
It sounds horrible, but it is true. And he was also reminding me of the fact that I was so scared of not going to the treatments, so that if we would leave Barcelona for 2 weeks, I would be really nervous about not being able to go to the treatments.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as we, you know, got back, the first thing I would do if we landed on Sunday night, Monday morning, I would be at the physiotherapist's office. So, and I think this is the tricky part. I mean, the treatments helped me in the sense that it kept my pain under control. What happened all the time was that I felt fine when I was in the treatment, and then I left, you know, the clinic, and walking back to my place, our home, the pain would gradually come back.
But you know what, Yana, that's not tricky at all. Cause let's look at two factors. Let's look at your eating disorder and let's look at your mother. Okay. So the obsessiveness about going to treatment was the fake safety, the same safety we feel in eating disorders and over-exercising, and the connection with the loving, kind, you know, therapist, whomever you were working with, is like that mother connection, that knowing that you're cared for. So it's not tricky at all. It's actually perfect.
And it's 100% true, because these people, and this is, it feels so weird to think about this now, but the people, you know, the physiotherapists became like my best friends.
Of course. Like, yes. They love you. They care for you.
Yes. And exactly. So it became that substitute for what I hadn't, you know, wanted my mom to give me, and that I wasn't giving and that I was needing. So let's see. Now we're in around April of 2019, and I am on my Kindle, and I'm looking, you know, randomly looking for books about back pain. So Healing Back Pain by Dr. Sarno comes up. Mm-hmm. So I decided to download the book, and I read it, and I felt, as many people have said before, a very strong sensation of, okay, this is very interesting. There's something here that I'm very much connecting to. And the first thing I did was that I started looking at Google because I said to my husband, I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to visit Dr. Sarno because I guess right. I thought
too late.
Yeah, I know. So that was, you know, the thing. Oh, it's too late. He unfortunately is not with us anymore. But then I continued Googling and I found a YouTube video with a lady from England who was talking about, I think she had very similar, you know, symptoms as I had with neck pain and back pain. And she was telling her story about how, you know, through journal speak, how she got better. And she said, in this process, I was really helped by this psychologist in the U.S. on the East Coast called Nicole Sachs. So I started Googling you, Nicole.
And oh, that's so interesting. I don't even think I know. I think there's lots of stuff out there that I don't even know about, but I don't even think I know which video you're talking about.
I'm sure. Yeah, I couldn't say which video it was, but it was that. And now I think something like this is kind of the funny part of the story. This was August 2019. I remember this very clearly because we went on vacation to Mallorca. And I started obsessively listening to your podcasts. And I think and it was like, you know, my daughter or my husband would say something like, no, I need to do this. I need to, you guys go to the beach or whatever. I'm like listening to this. And because I felt such a big connection about, you know, what you were talking about. It felt like for the first time in my life, somebody really understood what I was feeling and going through. And in there was like a big sense of hope. And I also felt, and this is a part that was very important to me, I felt like I was not alone. There were yes. other people out there that had been experiencing exactly the same thing as I had. And that was such a big part in this for me because I had felt so alone in this journey. And, you know, I felt like nobody understood. I was this hopeless case that nobody really thought probably would ever get well. I was always sick and, you know, nobody understood what was wrong with me. And suddenly I have something that I really can connect to. And so that was so great. And there's another thing that's very interesting that's happening on this vacation. And it's the fact that I didn't start journal speak because I kind of felt, oh, sounds like hard work, so I'll, you know, I'll do that when I get back to Barcelona because I'm still on vacation, you know, so I can enjoy my vacation. But we go down to the beach one day, and this is still to me so surreal, and I'm like a very kind of down-to-earth kind of person. So it's probably one of the most surreal things that has ever happened to me. We're at this beach, and my daughter, who was 10 years old at the time, she loves running. And she had said to me a couple of times, Mom, will you ever be able to run? Like, could you run with me? And I said to her, you know, honey, I don't think I will because your mom has this back pain and I'm not supposed to do this and this. And, you know,
right.
Running was probably the last thing that I ever thought I was going to be able to do. And it was so emotional to me to see how sad that was to her. And we're at this beach and I certainly get this like sensation in my body. And I look at my daughter and I said, Lemony, let's go running on the beach.
I'm literally crying right now.
Yeah. When I think about it almost makes me cry because it was so, I'm going to cry now too. It was so amazing. Nicole, it was so amazing. Like I just started running. And sorry.
No, I'm crying. It's so beautiful.
And I, you know, I ran as fast as I could and she was running with me and I didn't feel any pain in my body at all. And, you know, we just kind of go down in the sand and we're like rolling around and we're playing and I felt so free. And that was such a special moment for me. And I think it lasted probably for 2 hours. And I was like kind of screaming to my husband, I don't have any pain. It's crazy. And then we leave the beach and we go to a restaurant to have dinner. And when we're sitting there, the pain comes back. But I think that was proof to me that this is real.
Yeah, we get little
this
gifts.
It's real.
We get little gifts at the beginning because it's like, I almost feel like this is a spiritual experience. It's almost like we're getting a little nod from the universe. It's saying, it's okay. Like, you're going to have to do the work to make this really stick, but here's a little preview of what's waiting for you.
Exactly. And it was a big gift. It was a really big gift. So I go back to Barcelona and I start journal speak every day, like consistently. I stopped, and this was really hard for me. I stopped all the treatments.
Good girl. That's hard.
That was hard. That was like very, 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 very tough to start treatments. One of the hardest things. But I did that, and I decided to instead speed up my therapy. I used to go twice a week, and I started going once a week. And I went and I did the journal speak with, I think, so much belief in mm-hmm. with that experience on the beach, and also listening to your story and listening to some of the early success stories on your podcast. That meant so much to me because I could really relate, and I could feel that if they could get well, I can get well.
Yes.
So that was very important. And I will say this to everyone listening. For me, it did get worse before it got better. I will say that the back pain started, moving pretty quickly.
That's normal. So normal.
But I had, some episodes where I had just an immensely amount of pain. And there was another episode where I started getting migraines again, which I never had. Mm-hmm. But I started getting that old symptom back. And this was like a really kind of 4 or 5 days of complete, very, very strong migraines. But I practiced acceptance around it. I really started to be like, okay, like you say, however this goes, it's okay with me. This is yes. not... I started also to realize that this pain is this is not my enemy. This is actually part of me trying to communicate with me. And I also, in the process of getting well, I also started to get a lot of anxiety for 2 months. I was scared of everything. I fly pretty frequently, and I got just terrified with being in an airplane, even like driving, a car, or just stuff that I think what happened this time, I don't know, this is my interpretation, it was that I had been so disconnected with myself for such a long time that as I started connecting with my feelings again through journal speak, mm-hmm. it got a bit, it was a lot to feel.
Yes, that's the reason why we have pain, to protect us from the feelings.
Exactly. And then I would say somewhere around the end of November last year, I just did not hurt anymore. And I've been doing absolutely great for a year now.
So when you say, like, considering we've spent such a perfect and long time on the journey, mm-hmm. give us your like lovely explanation of your life without this pain. Like, is there anything you can't do? And I don't know the answer to this, but I'm sure that people mm-hmm. want to have, it's almost like a goal in mind of like, the horizon.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you this, there's no limits for me. I can do anything I want to do. I have no pain. Like, the back pain is zero. I don't have that pain. What will happen is that I will feel things in the way that, this is like a common experience for me. When I try to be different than I am, and I'm going to give you a very clear example so people understand. I was doing this activity earlier this year where this my daughter started middle school this year, and a lot of kind of, you know, new issues around friendship started coming up. And that was very, very triggering for me. And I just, you know, when she's been little, she's been in a place where I felt that I could kind of control her experiences. And as she started middle school, I started feeling that I couldn't anymore. And there was a lot of emotions for me around that. So around this time, we do this activity with some people at her school. And I had very strong feelings towards some of the people in this group. And I didn't really want to do it, but I kind of forced myself to go. And the way that I tend to do things is, you know, if I'm in a group where I might not be 100% comfortable with everyone, I tend to be like super social, super nice, just kind of, you know, listening to everybody's problems and just taking care of everyone, kind of taking on myself that everybody's going to have a wonderful time. And the way this especially ended up was that I think people had a wonderful time, but as I was leaving the activity, I was emotionally exhausted.
Yes.
Completely emotionally exhausted and in pain. I started feeling the back pain again. So that took me a couple of days until it moved through my body and it left me. The way that I see things, I tell my therapist this, like now it's actually, it feels like this is the fun part of the journey, because when I feel things like that today, it's such an invitation for me to go inwards and just excavate what's going on, like what's really going on. And there's so much information in this. And every time I feel like I learn something new about myself, that I'm actually grateful to that feeling.
Right. Yes.
And I also feel like for me, it's so important in my life now to connect to what I'm feeling. I used to be really scared of feelings, and now I'm like excited about what I'm feeling. I would even, when I do journal speak today, many times I don't write really, really fast like I used to. Like I write something and then I'm just like trying to really feel, how is that feeling to me? And if I start feeling anger or sadness, I just like really allow myself to feel that on a very deep level. And I'm kind of fascinated by the fact that, okay, this is it. It's not worse than this.
This is it.
This is it.
No, and can I tell you, okay, so this is, I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say about that activity you did with where you felt conflicted. I want to say something about that. But first I want to say, people look at me, okay, and they think like, oh, I'm the guru of this shit. You know, I'm like, I'm the Buddha at the Mount. You know, I'm cured. I'm healed. Yana and I are exactly the same. And she's been doing this for like a year and a half. And I've been doing this for 20 years. And the reason that it's very important for you to understand this is, not you, Yana, but everyone, is that there is no cure for the human condition. There is no cure for human pain, because human pain is part of being alive. And if it weren't part of being alive, this would not be a meaningful place to be. We hurt so we can learn, and we can rise, and we can grow, and we can connect, and we can interact, and we can feel the love and the richness and the joy of being alive. But also, that's painful. Anyone with a child knows that it is joy and pain, and they are intricately connected at all times. Mm. And there's no getting around it. And if you really think about it, you wouldn't have it any other way, because the depth of feeling we get to feel as people is only meaningful because of the obstacles that we can overcome. And, you know, that might sound all well and good. And if you're suffering in horrible pain, you're going to say, yeah, well, whatever, Nicole. But the point is, when you get through it, when you understand that you're safe, so you rest in that belief and you do the work you need to do to feel into all this depth of feeling that has been repressed and has become toxic in your body. Once you're there, where you are standing, where Yana is standing, I'm standing right beside her. I'm no better than that. I feel things all the time. I'll go through a bad day. I'll have a headache, or I'll have a twinge of my back pain, or I'll have a burning mouth, or I'll get a stomachache. Who cares? It's just information. If you can see your pain as non-threatening, if you can understand that sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies and they're literally interchangeable, if you can understand this about the human condition, nothing can ever hold you down or back again. You are free. That is why I call my work the cure for chronic pain, or freedom from chronic pain, because chronic pain, which is what Jana was experiencing essentially for a lifetime, is an epidemic of fear, confusion, and misinformation. Mm-hmm. Once you understand what's going on and you're able to unearth the emotions without fear, you're just a person in this world. And yes, sometimes when you do an activity with people who might not be bad people, they're probably really good people, but you have conflict with them, maybe regarding the happiness of your child or whatever, you are going to need to repress those feelings during that time, especially if you're a person like Jana or me that feels like they have to be the bright spot for everyone. And you have to make everyone feel okay for you to be okay. My God, that is so me. And I have battled with it my whole life. And less so. I mean, I'm always getting better. I'm always improving, but it's hard. And so, yeah, if you got home from that trip and you said, oh my God, my back hurts again. Oh my God, do I need another surgery? Back to the physio. Okay, well, I'm promising right now you'd be in horrible chronic back pain. Mm-hmm. But considering that you did not fear, you knew you have big feelings, you went to the page, you know, to the journal speak page, you got it out, you were present with your feelings, you were patient and kind with yourself. Today, you don't have that pain. That is the way it works. I freaking love it. I just love it.
And I also think as long as you are present with your feelings through journal speak, you can do everything. It's okay to go to activities like that. I'll give you an example. For a long time, I've been struggling with exercise because that was such a big thing for me. That was how I was numbing my feelings for such a long time. But I can do exercise. I can go to the gym today. But I need to go being, you know, in touch with myself. If I go to the gym and I started like kind of getting into, which it can be really triggering to me because I see all these perfect people that look so perfect and they look so strong and, you know, they're on there and they look perfect to me, you know, from my way
of course,
looking for perfection should be. So if I start going into that mode, That's not good. That's not good. I'm probably going to end up going out from the gym and not feeling okay. But if I'm present with myself, if I'm having a sad day, you know, I'll be at the gym, but I will still feeling what I'm feeling. And as soon as I go out of there, if not before, I do my journal speak. And then I have no pain.
That's right. That's right. Wow. I love your story. Thank you so much for reaching out to me and sharing so much of yourself, because this story is sort of, I hate to trigger your perfectionism, sorry, but this story is like the perfect example of a lifetime that rolls out with a lot of very typical and also very beautiful examples of why we need to repress and why we end up using that as a crutch without even knowing it, and then what can ensue when it finally threatens to rise, which was all the terrible pain, and then what can happen when we awaken. And that moment with your daughter on the beach, it really – I haven't cried that hard in a podcast ever. I've teared up, but I actually really cried over that, because the beauty of listening – I guess the reason why that got me in the heart – it's the beauty of listening to that inner voice, which said, run, Jana, run, is so striking to me, because I know the moments I've been able to listen to that beauty. And it's really a moment of enlightenment. It's amazing. And it moves me tremendously, because my greatest desire, the reason I do all the things I do, is because I love it when people wake up and take back their power and take back their freedom. It's everything to me. And I just am so happy that this happened for you, and I'm so happy to hear it. And it's just great.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nicole. I mean, I'm so happy that I found you and I found your work, and I'm so happy, you know, what you're doing for all of us is you're giving us, you know, you're showing us the way to get our life back. And it's the best gift that you can give anyone.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So Jana, I'm going to ask you the question I ask at the end of all of my interviews, which is you are looking out at a sea of potentially thousands of people. We actually hit 1 million downloads over the weekend. Mm. So yay. But thousands of people who may be suffering at your worst moment, what is the one piece of advice you would like to give?
I would probably, the first thing I would want to say is that I've been exactly where you've been. And I know that the pain is, it can be unbearable. And it can feel like there's no way out of this. And I also think that it's, you know, we tend to think that TMS pain cannot be that bad, but I've never been hurting more than I had
because of
TMS. I mean, even like giving birth to my daughter is nothing compared to the neck pain and, you know, how that feels. So I first just want to say that I really feel for you, but that this is possible. If you do this work, if you follow Nicole's work, you will get well. It's definitely is work of a warrior, because you need to really, you know, get down there and like kind of open those doors to what you might not have wanted to look at. But once you do it, it's like walls are falling in front of you, and you know, it opens up to not only a life free from chronic pain, but you will feel so much better in every aspect. And I also think I want to say one thing that I think is important, is that I was going to therapy for over 10 years, and I'm very appreciative of my therapist and of what that has taught me and is teaching me. But I did not get well because I did not have a tool for my repressed emotions. So I had a very good understanding of what was going on. But with journal speak, I finally found that tool to express myself. And with that, the pain stopped. So I'm not saying I think therapy is a great thing, and I think it's wonderful if it can go hand in hand with Nicole's work. But if you do Nicole's work, you will get well.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I want to even just add to that a little bit. The reason the 10 years of therapy didn't cause any cessation of your pain was, yes, A, you didn't have the tool to uncover your repressed emotions, but also so important is you didn't understand that if you uncovered your repressed emotions, your pain would go away. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that one of the most important things under the Believe umbrella of my work is for people to know that your nervous system and your brain are always looking for your input, your conscious input, to know whether or not you're safe, right? That's the only way your nervous system knows if it has to throw itself into fight or flight, whether you perceive yourself to be safe or not. And when people don't understand that our repressed emotions are literally directly linked to our physical conditions, there's no hope for getting better, because people need that understanding to have the perception of safety, to send the message to the nervous system, it's okay to relax. And so that's why information, Dr. Sarno used to say, my prescription to you is knowledge. That was what he used to say that all the time. Because that's what he would write. He would write a prescription for knowledge. He would say, your prescription is come to these lectures, because he used to give lectures at NYU, and I used to speak at many of them. And he would say, and then do the work. And that knowledge was what got people well for years. And then, of course, what got me well when I began this journey as a patient. And it's what I seek to carry to the entire world. So one of my favorite things about interviewing people that are not in America is that I love the concept of this theory and these methods to spread throughout the entire world. And every one of us is doing that. So Jana, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Nicole, and a happy new year.
Oh, you too. And Happy New Year to everybody out there. Yes. Because this is our New Year's podcast. All right. Well, this has been awesome. Everybody out there, have a wonderful and happy New Year. Let's set intentions for health and happiness and integration and wellness for 2021. God knows 2020 can go suck an egg. Okay. See you later. We're going to start fresh now, everybody. We're going to hope that the planet and the universe can partner with us in that. And, all of you guys, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you enjoyed this interview, if you could hop over to iTunes and rate and review it, it helps people like Yana and many other people around the world find the podcast. Yay to 1 million downloads. And this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.